Luke 10:25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed on the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over. He looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes. Now go and do the same. So this lawyer decided he was going to test Jesus. Now, a lot of people were testing Jesus at that time. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And he asked the question that Jesus often gets asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? There's a problem right there with the question, because do and inherit together. You inherit based on your relationship, not on what you do. In that day and in our day, inheritance usually comes from being a family member or a friend or someone closely connected. But this man's saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, you think about it, kind of gives a smart answer. Well, really a smart question. My paraphrase is, you're the lawyer. You're the expert in the law. You tell me, what's the law say? And maybe the man had heard Jesus speak before, because he says what Jesus had said when we looked at Mark a couple weeks ago. He says, love God and love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Deuteronomy 6:5, that part of the Shema, it talks about loving God. Then Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So the lawyer wanted to justify himself. There's his next mistake. We can only be justified by God, but he wants to justify himself. And he asked a question based out of Leviticus. He kind of thinks he knows the answer. He's the lawyer. And when you look at Leviticus, it talks about your fellow Israelite. But he asked Jesus anyway, so who is my neighbor? We like to think of our neighbors. When we say that, kind of like this lawyer, we want to think of people that are a lot like us. So we think of our neighbors, the people we want to help out, are those that are American Christians that vote the same way we do. They're our neighbors. Those other people aren't really our neighbors. And that's where this guy was thinking. But Jesus answers his question, as he often does. Jesus answers questions one of 2 ways, with a question or a story. This time, he's answering the question, who is my neighbor, with a story. This story is probably Jesus' best-known parable, if not, it's one of his best-known parables. The story of the Good Samaritan. People who have never stepped foot in church have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. They might not even know where it comes from, but they know the story. But I'm afraid that we miss what Jesus is, the impact that Jesus wants to have on us when he shares this story. I want you to imagine for a minute that you're on the mall in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. I'm already going to get in trouble. There's a political rally, disgruntled Americans protesting the election of Joe Biden. In the crowd is Henry. He's a member of the Proud Boys, a self-described patriot. He hates that the country seems to be overrun by liberals and foreigners. And the speech by Donald Trump hits home, and he proceeds to the Capitol with the rest of the crowd. On the way, he encounters Rashad, a Muslim whose parents were from Iran. He was an American born, but his parents were from Iran. He's a citizen. But he's part of a counter-protest. And when Henry comes by, he kind of throws an elbow, says, "Go home. We don't need you here." And then he proceeded on to the Capitol steps. When the Capitol doors were broken in and people walked in, he walked through the Capitol and joined others yelling, "Make America great again! Send the foreigners home. Donald Trump's our president." And when all the chaos calmed down, Henry began to head home, get to the subway to get back out to his car. As he was going, he cut down one of the back alley roads. And when he went down there, he was jumped by some thugs and was beaten, knocked unconscious. They took his wallet. They took his coat. They took his shoes and just left them there. There were some other alt-righters that came storming down that road because they're running away from the Capitol as quick as they can before heads start to roll. They see him there, but they don't have time to stop. They just keep on rolling. Rashad happens to cut down that same alley getting to his car. Sees the guy laying there. Recognizes it's the same guy that had elbowed him and mouthed off to him earlier. But Rashad stops and helps the guy out, takes him to his car, takes him to a hotel, bandages him up, takes care of him through the night to make sure he's okay, leaves his credit card number at the desk, telling them, "Hey, let the guy stay here as long as he needs to, use this to cover any incidentals, check on him to make sure he's okay. I'll cover all the expenses." That is my feeble attempt to make this story relevant for where we are. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They weren't just disliked, they were hated. They worshiped at a different mountain. They worshiped basically a different God. It started out, they worshiped gold calves. That goes back to early days, right? Moses' days. They were leftovers when Israel was exiled. And then they intermarried with Gentiles. When Jesus said the word Samaritan, the people probably just went, spit that word out. We don't even say Samaria. They would walk to go a longer distance so they didn't have to walk through Samaria. I don't know that we grasp what Jesus is doing when he makes this Samaritan into the good guy in this story. The people standing there would have been upset. They would have said, "What are you doing, Jesus?" There was so much prejudice there. There was hate between these two groups. And Jesus says, "Yeah, the priest. Man, they got priests pretty elevated. They were wealthy. The priest comes by and he sees him laying there. The priest has these things running through his mind. He can't tell. Is he a Jew? Is he a Samaritan? Is he a Greek? Is he an Egyptian? I can't really tell. They would tell what ethnic group someone was from by their language, by their accent, by their clothes. He couldn't tell any of these things. So he's looking at the guy, and if he's a Jew, the priest is obligated to help. But if he's not, he can keep on rolling. If he stops to help the guy, it's going to take time. If he's not a Jew, he's an unclean Gentile. If the guy's laying there and is actually dead, which you can't tell if he's dead or alive until he gets closer, if he's actually dead and he goes over there, he's unclean. He's got to go all the way back to Jerusalem. He's been in Jerusalem for 2 weeks doing his duty. He's headed back home to Jericho where he lives. He's probably got a donkey because he was wealthy. He wouldn't walk the 17 miles. So he's in a dilemma. Do I help the guy or do I keep going? I don't know whether he's a Jew or not, but it's going to take a lot of time to stop. I'm just going to keep on going. And he rides on. You've never done this before. You look the other way so you don't see what's going on here. I didn't see it. And then the Levite comes up. The Levites assisted the priest at the temple. This Levite had probably been working with this priest when they were at the temple for their 2 weeks of duty. He's headed home to Jericho as well. He knows the priest is just ahead of him. He sees the guy laying there and says, priest didn't help him. The priest is the one that's the expert in law. He would know if he needed to help, he'd have helped. If I were to help this guy out now and take him into Jericho, it'd make the priest look bad, which is going to make my life miserable because I made him look bad. I'm just going to keep on going too. And then you have the Samaritan. The Samaritan. I mean, Jesus could have told this story that a Samaritan got beat up and laying on the side of the road and a Jew came and helped. That would have been okay. A Samaritan. And he stops and helps the guy out. And he doesn't only help him out. He puts him on his donkey and takes him into Jericho. He's putting his life on the line. Think of it. If you've ever watched any of the old westerns, you've got an Indian that finds a cowboy beaten up on the side of the road, puts him on the back of his horse, and carries him into town. You think that Indian's going to get away with that? He's likely to get killed. This Samaritan's going into enemy territory. He's going into Jericho. But he doesn't only go in, and you know, he could have just dropped him off and kept on riding. Somebody could have helped him out from there. No, he goes and makes sure he's taken care of, spends his money, his energy, his time to care for this man. And when Jesus got done telling the story, he said, so which of the three was this man's neighbor? And that lawyer couldn't say, oh, the Samaritan. No, he said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise.
I don't know about you, whenever I'm going down the road and there's somebody on the side of the road, this story pops in my head. Do I stop and help? Do I keep going? Is it safe? Is it not? I had one day, I was going from Berlin to Salisbury. I had to go to a meeting. I wasn't late, but I was on time. I didn't have extra time. And a mile or so before you get to Willard's, I guess it was probably a couple miles, there was a car on the side of the road. A mile up from that, another mile from Willard's, here's a guy walking down the road carrying his gas can. Oh, good Samaritan story here. Pastor Mark, I don't have time. If I pick the guy up, I got to take him to the gas station. He's got to get gas. He's going to put a stinking gas can in my car. Then I got to go, and you got to go way down, and you turn and come all the way back. I don't have time for this. Let me look the other way. And God started convicting me. And by the time I got to the crossover there at Willard's, I U-turned and went all the way down the road, U-turned again, went by his car, coming back up to where he was, and I'm looking, the guy's nowhere to be seen. I'm saying, he was an angel, and I missed my chance to give an angel a ride. Look at this. But I got to Willard's, and I looked over at the gas station, and here he is standing there filling his gas can. Somebody stole my blessing. No, actually, I sacrificed that blessing. I could have taken the time to help this man out. I was in too big a hurry. I was the priest. I was the Levite. I was too busy worrying about my business. And how important was that meeting really, anyways? Do we ever think about this story? We think about it, or I do when I'm going down the road. But do I think about it with that person that's crying out for help, like the Who's in Whoville? It's really quiet. You got to be quiet to hear them. That neighbor that's struggling to pay their bills. The neighbor next door, across the street, or across the world is having a tough time. Am I willing to stop and listen for the cries for help? Sometimes those cries for help is destructive behavior. Am I willing to take a chance to help the person out that's struggling? Or am I too busy about my business? Because I think Jesus would agree with Horton. A person's a person, no matter how small. What if they're of a different faith, different nationality, different political party? Are they still my neighbor? Do I still have to help them out? One day my dad stopped by the farm. He'd do that sometimes. We were just sitting there talking. I could tell something was bothering him. So I was asking him, and he says, yeah, I just went to the pharmacy. I had to pick up some medications for your mother and I, and I'm waiting in line. There's a lady in front of me, and she's up there, and she's paying for her stuff, talking to the pharmacist. I hear him going back and forth because she didn't have enough money. And the pharmacist says, sorry, if you don't have the money, I can't fill your prescription. So the lady's trying to figure out which each prescription she needed and how much each one cost and get as much as she could with the money that she had. And the pharmacist takes her prescriptions and they go in the back and they're filling them. She's standing over to the side. And then Dad went up and he said, so that lady there, these medications, are they meds that she really needs or, you know, just kind of extra thing? What's it in? Pharmacist said, no, there are things she really needs to continue to live, but she doesn't have the money, no medicine. That's just the way it is. My dad said, put whatever her meds cost on my card. I'll pay for them. But see, that was a temporary fix. And that's why he was kind of upset when he came and we were talking, because what about the next time? What about the next person? What do we do about this when there's that quiet call from Whoville? And nobody's responding, nobody's doing anything, and people look at you like you're crazy if you do help out. You're just a bleeding heart. But a person's a person, no matter how small. What about the immigrant that needs help muddling through day to day? Have you ever gone to a foreign country? I mean, I haven't done that much, but going down to Jamaica, how do you figure out the money? Can you imagine coming here not speaking the language and trying to figure out the money too? And figuring out, can you work, can you not work, where can you go, where can't you go? I have a friend of mine, Willem, who is he's from Haiti, and he's a Nazarene pastor, and he's actually the pastor of the Seaford Church now, and he's got another church in Federalsburg. Great guy, but he is having immigration naturalization set up an office in the church in Seaford so the Haitians that are working in the processing plants can come there and make sure they get all their paperwork straight. And then in Hurlock, there's an old church building there, and he's going to take it and set it up. They're going to put showers in there and rooms in there so that immigrants that are coming into the country, it's transitional housing for them. They can come in, they can get set, they can get all their paperwork straight. Because a person's a person, no matter how small. Are we willing to really listen to the person that's crying out that needs help? What about the pregnant teenager that got kicked out of her house? What about the guy that just got out of jail that can't get a job? I know a guy, he went to jail because he took the fall for somebody else and refused to rat them out. He got out of jail, he couldn't get a job because he had a record. He needed money, he needed to be able to eat, he needed to pay rent, so he stole drugs on the side of the road. Got caught, went to jail. What do we do to help break that up? Can we do anything? That's not my problem. Who's my neighbor? Doesn't matter if they live next door, across the street, or across the world. Jesus says anybody on this third rock from the sun is our neighbor. A person's a person, no matter how small. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors, to care for our neighbors, to meet the needs of our neighbors, to engage with our neighbors, to love them. How in the world will people who do not know Jesus, who are completely different from us, how are they ever going to know Jesus if we don't show them Jesus? But to do that, we have to engage with them. We have to interact with them. Is it comfortable? I don't think it was comfortable for the Samaritan to stop on the side of the road and help that guy out. It doesn't mean we have to condone the way they're living. It doesn't mean we say, oh, you're of this faith, oh, that's okay. No, it means we love them and show Jesus to them, and we don't have to condemn them. You hear me? We don't have to condemn them. The Holy Spirit will convict them when we let them be exposed to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, believe it or not, Jesus will woo them to himself. We just tell. We tell the story. Hey, guess what? God came down to earth, became man, and we took all of our frustration against him and nailed him to a cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. And when they put him in the tomb, he came out, because sin and death have no control, no power over him. And he wants to give you a new life and free you from all this junk. And all that stuff you're hanging on to, you can let go of. Let me tell you, God really is. It's not that complicated. Love God. Love people. We're to be salt. We make people thirsty for Jesus. We're supposed to be light. So we shine hope into the lives of people who are walking in darkness and who are frustrated and who are lonely. Love God. Love people. Serve both. John tells us in 1 John 4:20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Have you heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I tell you, love your enemies. What? And pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Who in the world would ask us to love our enemies, to care for the outcast, to put ourselves at risk to help the down and out, to respond to the faint cry of help of people we don't know and maybe don't even like? No one would ask that of us. No one but Jesus. I think Jesus agrees with Horton. A person's a person, no matter how small. Heavenly Father, help us to hear. Lord, give us your ears to hear the cries for help all around us. Lord, give us your heart to have a heart for people, no matter where they are right now. May we see them as you see them. May we see them as you desire them to be, as you created them to be. Lord, you hear your people when they call to you for help. You rescue us from all our troubles. You are close to the brokenhearted. You rescue those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but you, Lord, come to the rescue each time. Rescue us, Lord, from ourselves. Help us to have ears to hear those who are on the side of the road, beaten and battered, that others are ignoring. Help us, Lord, to really love our neighbors and to reveal your love to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.